I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. And to tell you that if our PowerPoint doesn't work, I somehow or another don't have my sermon in my notes either. I opened it up and it's like not here, but it's probably in my office. So I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We think about Christmas, I could promise you I'm excited about this message. But when we think about Christmas, the amazing thing about Christmas and the Christmas story is that it still defies all expectations. A humble baby born in a stable 2,000 years ago dominates the landscape of the universe on this day. Do you realize that? In China, where they don't believe in Jesus, they celebrate Christmas. In Japan, where they don't believe in Jesus, they celebrate Christmas. Christmas. Around the world, Christmas is the most celebrated of all holidays. Why? Because the God-man came down to earth. This incredible gift is given, and Christmas is this amazing event. Christmas is this majestic thing. Think about it. Christmas is the majesty of God being displayed in human form. It's a miraculous thing. Christmas is a baby born to a woman who doesn't know a man. Christmas is a messy thing. I mean, think about it. How does this woman who's never known a man have a baby and explain it? How are you going to explain that to anybody? If any of these sweet, precious girls in our church showed up and said, "Pastor, I'm pregnant," and God did it. Yeah. You see, people, thank you, my brother. I had notes. I just didn't put them in my notebook somehow or another. And see, people have said through the ages, they've said, well, there were many virgin births. There were legends. There are none even close to the Christmas story. Nothing close in all of ancient literature. No matter what you have heard, the closest thing that's been propagated is this story of Horus, but that was made up by a guy in the last century. And it's been proven no Egyptologist believes those stories. None. Even if they don't believe in Jesus, they know those stories are false. There's no close thing to a virgin birth. And even if there was a myth like it, the reason people didn't believe it is people say, well, in our scientific day, we know better. Well, they may not have had all the advances of science that we have, but they all knew how babies came. They weren't that stupid. And when I meet people who tend to treat the past as all a group of gathered idiots, and today we know so much more, I think there were things that they know. We're still trying to figure out how they knew them and how they did some of the things that they did. Nobody today can figure out how they built those pyramids. And that was 3,000 years ago. The miracle of Christmas is this incredible, incredible event. Don Francisco captures it like this. He says, "In the center of the ages, the Lord spoke to a girl. And by the words he speaks, he gives a Savior to the world. The time grows to its fullness and Mary's son is born. The promise's fulfillment lies asleep now in her arms. He didn't come to terrify, to judge or condescend, to call us all his servants, but to lift us as his friends, to save us all from certain death, to reign at his right hand. When in the little town of Bethlehem, God became a man. Today the God of majesty is given to the earth. It's a gift of such magnificence we can never plumb its worth. And the rudeness of the setting just ignites the jewel's fire, the pearl beyond the greatest price, the joy of man's desire. Jesus came to earth." The story of it is told in Luke 1 and 2. In Luke 1, we meet Mary, a virgin. And the angel announces some things to her. And let's read these verses. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Read through verse 38. And you may stand if you wish for the reading of God's word. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One which is to be born in you will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, who has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. You may be seated. Now I'm just going to review very quickly what I just told you. Tell them what you're going to say, say it, and then tell them what you said and be done. And first off, I want you to see four truths out of this passage. Number one, notice the majesty of Christmas. Christmas is a majestic thing. Christmas is majestic because an angel appears. An angel appears. This doesn't happen very often. No matter what you think, very, very few times in the Bible do angels actually appear. It's a very rare thing. But an angel appears. And just so you know, when you see these cute little angels, you know, these cutesy little angels with their little wings and their little cherubic faces, they never look like that in the Bible. Never. They're always terrifying. Because the first thing angels always say is what? Fear not. Why? Because when a guy suddenly shows up in your house gleaming, that's pretty fearful. I mean, let's face it, if you're sitting there watching TV and all of a sudden an angel appeared to you, you would be terrified. How did you get in here? Who are you? Why are you glowing like that? So there's this majesty of Christmas. This majestic being shows up in this humble child, young lady's life, and appears to her. But the second thing that's majestic is it's the announcement, not just by an angel, but the announcement about a king. That one day, the king that has been promised for so long, the king is coming. Unto you, there will be born a savior of the city of David. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever. The one that's been promised is coming. This is this amazing, majestic announcement. The majesty of God is about to come on earth. So it's majestic. It's also miraculous. The miracle of Christmas is this. Mary says, "But wait a minute. How can this be? I've never known a man." God established natural laws. Babies are born because people have physical relations. Husband and wife have physical relations, or man and woman have physical relations, and babies are born. This is God's plan. God created humans so that there have to be the joining of an X and a Y chromosome in the womb or at conception, and then fertilized in the womb, and then there birth takes place. Conception takes place and birth takes place. This is God's plan. It can't happen otherwise. And Mary was wise enough to know that. How can this be? I've never known a man. The Bible tells us several times that this is a miracle, that a virgin conceives and bears a son. A virgin. Why? Because God's about to do something that he promised to do. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, he said this. He said, when Adam and Eve sinned and sin broke everything that God had planned, the good that God had planned for men, sin violated and sin ruined and sin wrecked. God said, the Lord God said that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. Seed of the woman. That didn't make any sense because the seed comes through the man. But the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. And so in the fullness of time, God speaks to a girl and says, your seed is going to crush the head of the serpent. How's that going to work? See, it's a miracle. It's just a miracle that a virgin conceives. But even the greater miracle is this, that the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, takes on flesh. This is this incredible thing that God comes into the arena. That he doesn't come as a conquering king, that he doesn't come riding on a white horse in his first incarnation. Instead, he's born like a baby, like everyone else. He comes as the second man. He comes as the last Adam. He comes to undo the damage that's been done. He comes to erase the brokenness and create wholeness. God comes into the arena. What we look at is when Mary holds this baby in her arms, when this baby is born, she is holding the one who is holding her. By his mighty power, even that very moment. Even while he cries, and you say, well, the song said, no crying you make. He was a real baby. You spank a real baby's backside, real baby deity or not is going to cry. I'm just saying, he was a real baby, just like every other baby. He needed to be nursed. He needed to be cared for. He had to be cared for by his parents. He was a real baby like every other baby. There's several babies in the audience this morning in the congregation. And you know what? He was just as real as any of them. You couldn't have told the difference. He was a real baby. But God became a man. Think about that. John says it like this in verse 1, in chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Notice third, the messiness of Christmas. See, it's a miracle, but it's a messy miracle. It's a messy miracle because Mary couldn't understand it. As our friend on a famous movie used to say, it's inconceivable. And it really is inconceivable to think about this. How can this be? Mary is stunned. There's no way. First off, why me? How this? Everything about this doesn't even play out to Mary. Mary's this godly young lady, and you say, how do you know she's godly? If you read the song that she sings as a teenager, and she's still just a teenager, as you read the song that she sings as a teenager, that song is filled with scripture. She knows the story of the Old Testament. She knows the promises that have been made. And she sings to the Lord. And it is no surprise that this girl has been chosen because she is a special young lady who lives in the presence of God in a very real way and lives in the Word of God in a very real way. She couldn't understand it. She couldn't believe it. And nobody else could either. It's unbelievable. It's this unbelievable occurrence. But third, she couldn't defend it. All his life, Jesus lived under the stigma of being born out of wedlock. In Jewish time, Mary would have been stoned for being pregnant out of wedlock. Had Joseph not stepped in and taken responsibility, Mary would have been stoned. Have a baby out of wedlock was a gross sin. The Bible forbade it. They couldn't enter the house of the Lord. For Mary to go through this shame and indignity all of her life was something that was very painful. And there was nobody that would believe her story unless God showed it to them. Nobody. Elizabeth believed it because of the miracle that had happened in her life and the Spirit bore witness in her heart. But unless the Spirit bears witness in the hearts of people, they're always going to attack the Lord Jesus for this very thing. The Pharisees would say to him, we weren't born of fornication. We have a father. And that was a direct slam at his parentage. They were happy to make this slam at him. You see, it was a messy thing. But it was messy in this one sense. Mary had to receive it. Look there in verse 38. Mary says this amazing statement. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. You realize Mary had to say yes? You see, and here's the truth for you too. Jesus has come, but if you don't receive him, it means nothing to you. Mary had to submit to the Father.
She had to submit to the Father's will, knowing the shame that it would bring, knowing that there would be no one to whom she could explain it, knowing that it might mean Joseph would leave her as he planned to do until the Lord showed him not to, knowing that she would be rejected by family and friends, knowing that there would be nobody that would defend her or explain it for her, knowing that she would have to wait until eternity's day to be vindicated. Still, she chooses. Yes. Because you see, there is always a cost to Christ. Most of us don't want to pay it, but there is always a cost with Christ. Finally, what is the meaning of Christmas? Let me just see if I can unpack in four quick words the meaning. Number one, it means that the sovereign, the King of David, has finally come. God promised to David 1,000 years before. David wanted to build the Lord a temple, a house. And the Lord said, no, you can't, but I'll build you one. And one day, one of your descendants will sit on the throne forever. Forever. And every person in David's line looked to that day. Everyone wondered. Every time they saw a baby born, they named many of them Jesus. Joshua was a very common name in first century Israel because it means Jehovah saves. And they were looking for the Savior that Jehovah had promised. When was the king going to come and ride in? But today, Mary gets the good news. You have been chosen, and the king, the sovereign of Israel, is going to come through you. Second, the seed of the woman has come. Let me tell you why this is so important. Because what this does is this throws open the lie that's been said that God's word is not true and God's not good. But here God says, no, I'm good. I'm keeping my promise. My word is true. The promised seed that I made long time ago, thousands of years ago, has finally come. I'm keeping my word. The seed of the woman has come that they've been looking for since Eve's day. Third, the Savior of the world has come. Sinners can be forgiven for the first time. Joy will be to every nation. Every time people hear His word and really believe it and receive it, joy unspeakable and full of glory wells up in their hearts. Sinners discover forgiveness. Religion doesn't give anybody forgiveness. Religion just piles on rules. Religion just gives you one more thing to do. It wears you out. It wears you down. But Jesus offers forgiveness. You can have your sin forgiven because Jesus has come. Your name can be written in heaven. You can be right with God. You can be restored to the wholeness that was lost in sin. He will take the brokenness and replace it with wholeness. He forgives. The Savior comes. He will save you. But you have to know you're a sinner to be saved. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. The Pharisees were watching the man born blind in John 9, and they said, are we blind too? And Jesus said, if you just admit you were blind, then you could see. But because you think you see, your sin remains. The minute a person finally says, I need a Savior, God saves that sinner. God saves that sinner. Finally, the story of the Word starting to be completed. The story of the Word. You see, the Word is that God promised the Son. God promised that He'd come. He promised it. He promised that to Eve that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. He promised to Abraham that in your seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. He promised to Judah that unto you Shiloh would come. He promised to David that one day one of yours would sit on the throne. He promised through Isaiah, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his kingdom and of peace there will be no end. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. The great promises are all being unpacked in the gift of a baby. This morning in our reading, if you're caught up, We read John, 1 John chapter 3. And he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God." We can be called that because the Savior has come. The story is being completed. But here's the real question on Christmas morning, Christmas Eve. Are you in the story? See, until you submit like Mary did, you're not in the story. You can be all around it. You can be in the services, but not in the story. You can be enrolled in the church and not in the story. You can be a nice person and not be in God's story. Only when you come to Jesus, surrender to Him like Mary did and say, "Let it be to me according to your word," only then are you in the story. Today, I invite you to join the story, to come to Jesus. We're going to bow, have a hymn of invitation, and give you an opportunity on Christmas Eve to receive the great gift. The reason we give gifts is because of this gift. And if you've never received this gift, the gift of Jesus, today I invite you to come to Jesus. Receive God's gift, the gift of eternal life, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of restoration, the gift of joy. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that for any here who do not know you and have never received your gift, the gift of your Son, I pray that today they would come and receive the great gift of Jesus. And they would discover forgiveness, peace, joy. The joy that you promised. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.